Now, as we continue with our studies in the Gospel according to John, we are turning again to chapter 9. The Gospel according to John, chapter 9. In our last study, we looked at the first 12 verses of this chapter. Today, I'm hoping to take you through from verse 13 right to the end of the chapter. Before we read some of these verses, let us bow for prayer. Blessed God, our Father, we come again to Thee. We acknowledge our need of Thee. It's in Thee we live and move and have our being. We're dependent upon Thee for the very breath that's in our nostrils. We depend upon Thee for food and raiment. We depend upon Thee for the seasons, the seed time and the harvest. And so, therefore, in all our dependence upon Thee, we turn to Thee again. We're about to read from the Holy Scriptures, and we pray that by Thy Holy Spirit Thou shalt help each of us to understand the message and to be able to apply it in a practical way to our lives. O God, remember each listener today. Thou knowest what each one stands in need of. Give encouragement to those that need to be encouraged. Bring the blessing of salvation to those who need to be saved. We ask it in the Savior's name. Amen. Now, in our last study, we were looking at some of the details surrounding the giving of sight to the man who had been born blind. Now, as we take up the study today at verse 13, you'll see what the result was, how the people reacted, and how the Lord dealt with them. Verse 13. They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, He put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed, and do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, This man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, How can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. They say unto the blind man again, What sayest thou of him, that he hath opened thine eyes? He said, He is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight, until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, Is this your son, who ye say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not, or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him, he shall speak for himself. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore said his parents, He is of age, ask him. Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, Give God the praise, we know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Then said they to him again, What did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, I have told you already, and ye did not hear. Wherefore would ye hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? Then they reviled him and said, Thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spake unto Moses, As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. The man answered and said unto them, Why, herein is a marvelous thing, that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshipper of God, and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? This man were not of God, he could do nothing. They answered and said unto him, Thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. Now let us pause there for a short time. Let us try and gain some lessons from this passage I have read now. I suggest that following the man's personal confession that we studied in our last lesson, and you will recall that in that personal confession, he spoke about a person, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then he spoke about that person's work, what he did. Then he spoke about that person's word, what he said. Now then, I want you to notice in the verses we have read now, the persistent criticism of those who were in opposition to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now remember this, in chapter 8, the Lord said, I am the light of the world. And being the light of the world, he was able to expose the darkness of sin that prevailed at that time. He was able to expose the darkness of ignorance. Here in chapter 9, the challenge is put before him, as it were, as a man blind from birth. He rises to the occasion. He speaks the word, tells the man what to do, and the man received his sight, proving that the Lord Jesus Christ was and is the light of the world. But these people, the opponents of Christ, these religious leaders of that day, these Pharisees, they were still in nature's darkness. They were still blind. Now then, notice the blindness of these critics. They would rather have a blind beggar sitting by the roadside, unable to do anything for himself. They would rather have that blind beggar than allow a work of mercy to be carried out on his behalf. These men were determined in their criticism. Notice the determination of the critics. No amount of evidence would cause them to change their opinions. They had certain opinions about the Lord Jesus Christ. No matter how many signs he gave them, they would not be convinced. While in effect, it's like this. They professedly said they were waiting for a Messiah. But when he demonstrated all the qualities of the Messiah, they still would not believe. Even the blind man knew this. He said, was such a thing ever heard of before, that a man who was born blind could be given his sight? Has it ever happened before? But it had happened that day. Now then, they were determined. And when I look at the determination of the critics, first of all, they question the man. And if they cannot discredit the miracle, they're going to discredit the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember we pointed this out in a previous study, that he cured a man on the Sabbath day. And here again, this man was cured on the Sabbath day. For verse 14 distinctly says, it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Now, do you remember what I said about the Sabbath? The Sabbath speaks of rest. Yet here was a man who didn't have rest. He didn't have what the Sabbath represents. But the Lord Jesus Christ is the true Sabbath. He is the fulfillment of the Sabbath. He said, come unto me and I will give you rest. Here he proves himself to be the Messiah, the one with power to open the blinded eyes. He's been able to make the lame to walk. He's able to make the blind to see. Yet they will not accept that testimony. But they go to the man and they say, tell us this. How were your eyes opened? How did you receive your sight? You remember what we said in our last study? If someone was to come and ask you, my friend, how you became a Christian, would you be able to tell them? Would you be able to tell them correctly? Would you be able to tell them in a scriptural manner? That is, would you be able to tell them it was the Lord that saved you? Would you be able to speak about the person of Christ? Would you be able to tell about his work? For that's all that this man did here again when he was questioned by the Pharisees. He simply related his testimony again. He said, he said unto them, that's the blind man now, speaking about the Lord Jesus, he, Christ, put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed and do see. He spoke again about the person's work. Now it was at that time the real criticism began to come out. And these Pharisees said, this man is not of God because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Keeping the Sabbath day, he was the Sabbath. 'Twas he who could bring rest to the people. He was not a shadow of things to come. He was the reality of these things. But others said, how could a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And I want you to notice what it said at the end of 16, and there was a division among them. Now remember, I pointed out when we were in chapter 7 that we had that expression, there was a division therefore amongst the people because of him. Here again, there is a division amongst the people. Christ is the great divide. There were some who said, this man is not of God, this man is a sinner. Others said, no, he is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been born blind. They were not going to accept this, so they call in his parents. Now remember, they have questioned the man. He stands there and he's given them his own testimony. They called his parents. And they asked his parents, is this your son? And they had to admit, yes. Do you say he was born blind? Yes, he was born blind. How then doth he now see? Now, it's an amazing thing. His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son. We know he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. I wonder, was that the truth? I don't think so. The reason is this. The parents tried to get out of the difficulty and they said, you better ask him. He is of age. He'll speak for himself. Now, watch why his parents said this. Verse 22 tells us, because they fear the Jews. You know, the fear of man bringeth a snare. And a lot of people are afraid to speak for the Lord. They're afraid to bear the testimony to the fact that they've been saved because of the fear of man. Because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Now get a grasp of this. A lot of arguing had been going on in that part of the world. People were talking about this man from Nazareth, the man called Jesus. They were discussing the miracles he had performed, but the Jews, the Sanhedrin, the rulers, had come to this conclusion that if anyone dared to say that this Jesus of Nazareth was the Christ, if they confessed that he was the Messiah, then they were to be ostracized. They were to be put out of the synagogue. My friend, we don't have that kind of persecution today, at least very few of us. I've never had that persecution. Perhaps some of you listening to my voice, you've had that. You see, I was brought up in a Christian home. And when I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, my father didn't persecute me for that. My mother didn't persecute me for that. They encouraged me. They helped me. They were proud of the fact that I trusted Christ. And when I started preaching and bearing my testimony, they were also proud of that and encouraged me. See, some of us perhaps have had it easy in the Christian life, at least so far as persecution is concerned. Here was a man who was to be persecuted by his own people, because they said, if any man dares to say that Jesus is the Christ, then he must be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, rather than bear a testimony, his parents said, "You better ask him. He's of age. He'll speak for himself." My friend, let me ask you again. Are you willing to take your stand with the Lord Jesus Christ? You see, there was the blindness of the critics. There was the determination of the critics. No amount of evidence would cause them to change their opinions. There was the decision of the critics. They rejected the man's testimony and cast him out of the temple. Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, "Give God the praise." And I want you to notice when he was beginning to answer them here, when they said that this man that gave him his sight was a sinner, he said, "Now look, you may call him a sinner. Whether he be a sinner or not, I know not. But one thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see." You see, my friend, facts are things that cannot be denied. Here is one man who didn't have the rhetoric, so to speak. He didn't have the education that they had. He couldn't argue with them about theology. He didn't know much about the Old Testament prophets. But there was one thing he did know. That is that he was once blind and had received his sight. It may be that someone is listening to me now. And it may be, my friend, that you don't know much about theology. You hardly know a text from the Bible. But the fact is this, if as a poor sinner you have turned to Christ and claimed him as Savior, saying, "God, be merciful to me, the sinner." If you've received Christ and he has received you, you're able to say, "There's this one thing I know. Once I was a sinner on my way to hell. Now I've been converted. I'm saved. And I'm on my way to heaven." You know, if you're saved, you know it. And if you're not saved, you know it. I said that one night while speaking to a crowd of people in an open-air meeting at the Marble Arch in the city of London. Huge crowd gathered round. In the midst of speaking to them, I said, "If you're saved, you know it. If you're not saved, you know it." And an old woman standing in the crowd, audibly, loud enough for everybody to hear, she said, "That's true. I'm saved, and I know it." What a testimony. My friend, if you're saved, you know it. And I tell you this, if you're not saved, you know it. Don't go on kidding yourself or trying to kid other people. This man said, "One thing I know, whereas I was blind, now I see." And I personally can say this one thing I know, there was a time when I wasn't saved, and there was a time when I was saved, when I trusted Christ as my Savior. And they asked him again, they said, "Well, tell us, how did it happen?" He answered them, he said, "I have told you already, and you did not hear. Wherefore would you hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples?" What a challenge. In plain words, he's not going to argue with them anymore. He's saying this, "I've told you already, why don't you believe it? Are you willing to be his disciple? Are you willing to trust him as I have?" And my, that really put them on the spot. At that point they got angry and they reviled him. And watch what they say. "Thou art his disciple. We are Moses' disciple. We know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is." But the man gave them a good answer now. He said, "Why, herein is a marvelous thing, that you know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. We know that God heareth not sinners. But if any man be a worshipper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? This man were not of God, he could do nothing." My, the man was really laying on the line now, real truth. Now, but watch how they try to get out of this. These critics, you know, they'll do anything but answer to truth. And here's what they tried to do now. They tried to discredit the man. They said unto him, "Thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us?" And they cast him out. Plain words. They're telling him, "You don't know anything. You were born in sin yourself. And we're righteous people. And you're trying to tell us You know, isn't that a strange thing? A man gets converted, God lifts him up out of the gutter of sin, and he begins to testify to other people. And they say, why, see him, he's trying to preach to us. We know who he is. And they try to discredit the man because of what he was in the past. But now, let us note what happened. The man was rejected. They rejected his testimony. They rejected him. They rejected the Christ of whom he spoke. But now there comes a positive challenge. Verses 35 to the end. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. When he had found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? There's a question coming from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. My friend, let it come to all our hearts today. Dost thou believe on the Son of God? It's not asking if we believe certain things about him. Do you believe on him? Have you placed your confidence? Have you placed your trust? Have you placed your faith on the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God? He answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. See, the man who could testify for what the Lord had done for him is willing to worship the Lord. He becomes a true worshipper. Here is the compensation he received. He was cast out by men, but he was sought and found by the Lord. My friend, you needn't be worried if people cast you out. You needn't be worried if the world rejects you as a Christian. You needn't trouble yourself if they don't want your company anymore and they tell you not to come back into their company. This man was cast out. Well, after all, he had been an outcast all his life. He was a blind man. So they cast him out of the temple now. He's not to come there. However, the Lord took him in. The Lord knows exactly where to find his sheep, and this was one of them. So he took this man in. Then again, verse 39, And Jesus said, For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, Are we blind also? Jesus said unto them, If ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now you say, We see, therefore your sin remaineth. Here is the revelation the man received first. It was the revelation concerning Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus revealed himself to him as the Son of God. Then there was the worship that he offered. The final portrait of this man is that of a humble worshipper. But now, turning from them, the Lord speaks to the others and they hear. In plain words, here's a man who was blind, but now he sees. He's come into living contact with the Lord Jesus Christ and received his sight. But now these men who profess to have great insight and great knowledge, the Lord said, You're still blind. See, the God of this age, the devil, had blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine in unto them. And of course, if it did, they would be saved. But Jesus said unto them, If ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, We see, therefore your sin remaineth. Plain words, they weren't using the faculties that God gave them. If they had looked at the miracles that he had performed, then with this man they would have been able to say, Thou art the Son of God. They would have been able to bow in true worship. But they didn't. My friend, where do you stand today? There was a division because of him. The blind man was on his side. He had received his sight. The critics stood over against him. Where would you have stood, my friend, that day? Would you have taken your stand with the Lord? Or would you take your stand with his critics? All right, where do you stand today? Decide, my friend, which side of the line you're on.